Truth Revolution.
Happy Easter!
Happy Easter, Dave.
This is where faith and reason meet, and we're going to talk about stuff like Easter today. Anyway, I'm Pastor Dave. That's Pastor Jeff. We're from Revolution Church in Salida, kid.
Yeah, happy Easter. You should come out to Revolution Church. If you haven't, go to revo.church. That's revo.church.
Right.
Online.
And if you haven't, you're wrong. You need to do it.
Yeah, right. So go to revo.church, and there you're going to find service times, where we're at, all that sort of stuff. You just come on out to Revolution Church. It's Easter, for goodness sakes.
Right, you know you want to. I mean, you've been thinking about it for a while. Just do it.
Just do it. Mm-hmm. I promise no one's going to hurt you.
Right.
Unless Dave goes on some just wicked bass solo and like flings his bass guitar out in the audience and
Dave
smacks
doesn't
you on the
do
head.
Bass solos.
Dave doesn't do bass solos. No. Well, okay. Sorry, Dave. All right. Today, since it's Easter, this is the day we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus mm-hmm. Christ. So today, we're talking about how we know Jesus rose from the dead.
Right.
We're kind of getting back to basics. You know, last week was like, how do we know the Bible's true?
Mm-hmm.
This week, we're talking about how do we know the resurrection's true?
Right.
You know what's going to happen next week?
Hmm.
Nothing. Because our show is going to a monthly format.
You got me.
I got you. Because our show is going.
Like you say, we're going to find out when Jesus is coming back. Really? I'm going to tune in.
I mean, yes, we're going to talk about when Jesus is coming back next
too
week.
Late.
If there's no show, the rapture happened.
Right.
I'm just kidding. All right, we're going to a monthly format. This is not going to be a show next week. Mm-hmm. You need to make sure that your podcast settings are updated so that it downloads the show automatically so that every month you're reminded, hey, the new show is here.
Right. If you don't know how to do that, you want to email Jeff at truthrevolution.tv.
That's not a real address.
I know, because I didn't want you to be inundated.
Questions at truthrevolution.tv.
You know, you go right ahead.
You started to say my email address, and then I looked at you, and you're like, oh, snap. That's okay. Actually, all these emails will get to us. Mm-hmm. Questions at truthrevolution.tv. But you can go to truthrevolution.tv and make sure, get to the website. Okay, if you're listening on the radio, this is important, because the show is only once a month now. For the time being, we're going to be on most of the radio stations, but maybe not yours.
Right.
So you want to double check truthrevolution.tv. You want to get it on podcast. Make sure you can hear it on your phone. Get it. Subscribe to our channel on YouTube. That sort of stuff. Because after today's show, we're not having another one until May.
Right.
And then not another one until June.
And then you may forget. And then as everything goes.
Bam.
Yep.
And we're actually going to take a hiatus mm-hmm. from June through August. But we will post some older shows
right.
those months. And then we will start up with new content in September.
There you go.
So new content starting in September.
Right.
Well, there'll be new one in May as well. So this month and then next month, then we're going to take a break, post some old shows during the summer, and then we'll do new shows again starting in September.
Gotcha.
On a monthly schedule, not weekly. Okay.
And now I'm unconfused.
Now you're... Do I need to explain it one more time?
No, I'm unconfused.
Okay, good. The fact that you were unconfused actually...
Meant that I was confused at one point.
Reconfused me.
Oh, we do that to each other.
We're going from a weekly show to a monthly show. Just listen once a month, okay?
There you go.
Get it on your podcast. All right, today we're talking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Dave, why is it important that we know Jesus rose from the dead?
Because if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, the Bible even says itself that we are to be pitied among all men.
Yeah, man, if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, we are wasting our time.
Absolutely.
I don't want to do this show. I don't want to do church. I don't want to have you keep me accountable.
I just do whatever I want because Jesus didn't really rise from the dead and whatever else he said must not be true.
Exactly. Well, I mean, not necessarily that. I mean, he might have said some things that were true, but he certainly wasn't God that deserves to be worshipped.
Right. Well, I mean, if he didn't rise from the dead like the Bible says he is, then I'm not going to trust anything.
Oh, okay. Well, that's fine.
I'll do what I want.
Good news is he rose from the dead,
right.
So you can trust him.
Amen.
All right. So how do we know that he rose from the dead? Well, we like to use a little acronym that we call
FEET.
That's right.
Not F-E-E-T.
Not the stinky feet.
Oh.
Not F-E-E-T. Feet like the greatest feet in history.
Right. See, I thought we were going to cover Empty Tomb twice.
That's disgusting. Thanks. No, like, this is the greatest feat in the history of the world. F-E-A-T. Jesus has risen from the dead. That sort of thing.
Amen. Good job.
Thank you.
I almost got excited there. I thought you were going to continue.
Yeah.
I was just going to sit back and eat some popcorn.
You want me to try it again? Here's how we know Jesus rose from the dead. First, fatal torments. The F in feet says that Jesus died. The E stands for an empty tomb. The A stands for appearances. I can't do it. This guy's singing.
And T for transformation. Just wanted to make sure we got it all the way out there.
Why are we going to a monthly format? Because we can't focus for 4 weeks in a row. Now. All right. So that is it. Fatal Torment, Empty Tomb, Appearances, Transformation. This acronym was developed by a guy named Hank Hanegraaff. He's a good teacher. So we're going to use this acronym. We're going to reiterate some of the stuff, how we know Jesus actually rose from the dead. Okay. Fatal Torment. Why is it important to know that Jesus actually died? Why was his torment fatal?
Well, because if he didn't die, he couldn't rise from the dead.
Yeah.
So we're just going to continue to keep going back. Well, how do we know that it's important that he was actually born? Because if he wasn't born, then he wouldn't have died, and he wouldn't... Yes.
Jiminy. Okay, so, all right, we have to know, did he die before we can say he rose from the dead?
Absolutely.
This actually is important because there are a number of people who say Jesus didn't actually die.
Right. There's a theory going around.
Muslims in the Quran say that Jesus merely swooned.
Right.
That he like passed out. He woke up inside the tomb, pushed the stone away, overpowered the guards, and walked back to his disciples and said, I've risen from the dead.
Pardon my looking like hamburger after having been whipped.
And beaten and scourged and nailed to a cross.
But I'm back.
I mean, it's kind of a ridiculous scenario to think. Yeah. I mean, even if he didn't die, he was beaten, he was whipped, his flesh was ripped off, he had thorns jammed into his head, he was hit with staffs, he was punched in the face, he was hung on a cross,
and then
he was wrapped up in, fabric, he rolled into a tomb.
But even before that, Jeff,
what?
He was pierced through the heart.
Yeah, they stabbed him. That's right. I forgot about them saying that. They stabbed him because there was blood and pleural fluid. It most likely went through his lung and into his pericardium. Yeah. His heart.
So what I want to know, was it before or after the stabbing of the heart that he swooned?
Yeah, exactly.
So.
And so then he wakes up in the tomb having wounds in his lungs and heart all over his body, his hands, his feet, his skin hanging off of him.
Right.
Somehow he has the power to move a giant boulder. Somehow he has the power to overpower Roman soldiers, multiple Roman soldiers, and then walk miles to where his disciples are. And then when he sees the disciples, he says, I have risen from the dead, and they believe him. And then they say, someday, hopefully, we'll have glorious bodies like his.
Right. I'm not buying that.
Maybe. Maybe not.
Yeah, that's not how it works.
Right.
All right. A few of the reasons we mentioned that we know he died is because he had hematidrosis.
Mm-hmm.
What is that?
Hematidrosis is when you are under immense stress or, you know, when you're under immense stress or immense pain. There are actually modern equivalents to this that it happens that your capillaries in your sweat glands will burst and you will begin to sweat blood.
You actually do. You sweat blood.
Right. And the Bible even talked about how Jesus sweat blood in the garden when he was praying.
That's right. So he had this medical condition, hematidrosis. Mm-hmm. And what happens with this is it makes your skin fragile.
Right.
So when you hear all this other stuff that happened to Jesus, keep in mind his skin was already fragile and he'd already had some blood loss. Okay. Then they arrested Jesus. They punched him.
Right.
They beat him.
Mm-hmm.
They scourged him. This is taking like a whip or a cat of nine tails with little pieces of metal or bone on the end.
Yeah.
And whipping Jesus. They actually would fasten someone to a stump, often this out or a log or something buried in the ground. They would fasten him to it. They'd whip him on the back from the shoulder all the way down to the bottoms of the feet until his skin was filleting off.
Right.
They would turn him over. He's naked. They would again flay him from shoulders to feet. Some people called this the half death.
Right.
And poets back then were even calling for it to stop. They said it was too violent.
You know, and the thing is that, you know, we think about getting whipped. I mean, this is not just like you said, with the ends of it being metal and bone. This instrument was meant to rip flesh from bone.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be kind of like having a whip made out of the ends of barbed wire.
Right, absolutely.
So that's what it would be like. And then he had a crown of thorns placed on his head. Mm-hmm. That wasn't merely for decoration. I mean, why would they use thorns, right? They made this crown of thorns. They beat it into his head.
Right.
They took nails, massive nails that were closer to railroad ties than finishing nails.
Yeah.
And they jammed these through his hands and through his feet. And then the crucifixion itself, where people die from asphyxiation.
Right.
You cannot lift yourself up long enough. You cannot breathe. Your lungs fill up with water. You die.
Yeah.
And then to make sure he was dead, a spear went through his lungs and his heart. This is what the history records. Mm-hmm. And then the Roman soldiers, who were professional executioners, killed way more people than Texas will ever kill.
Right.
said he's dead.
Yep.
And by the way, if they misdiagnosed, if they said someone was dead when they weren't dead and they took him off the cross, guess what happens to them?
They go up on the cross.
They die. Yeah. Right. They get punished with death. So they're not going to make a mistake here, right? They knew Jesus was dead. They took him off the cross. He was dead and they put him in the tomb, right? Right. Jesus really died.
Absolutely.
Then a few days later,
what happened?
Some women go to the tomb.
Mm-hmm.
They see an angel.
Mm-hmm.
The stone is rolled away.
Right.
The angel tells them Jesus is risen from the dead. Now, even if you're a skeptic and you don't believe there was an angel, what the Jewish government and the Roman government and even most historians today who are not Christians agree, the tomb was empty.
Right.
The female factor is important. Dave, why is this?
Because back in the day at that point, they didn't allow women to be official witnesses.
That's right. You couldn't go to court and use a woman as your witness. And it, what actually happened was the women were the first discoverers of the tomb. Why, if you were inventing a religion, would you use a witness who wasn't even allowed to testify?
I wouldn't.
You wouldn't?
I wouldn't.
I mean, if we were inventing a religion today,
yep.
And would we use someone that a court would say this person's not allowed to testify?
No.
Because they're not trustworthy? No.
Absolutely not.
Now, the question is, are women trustworthy? Well, absolutely. Yes, definitely. But right. Back in their culture, they didn't think so.
Right.
And so if you're going to start a new religion,
you're going to want to make sure that everything's squared up.
That's
There's
right.
no holes in this thing. Here it is.
But women discovered the two. I think God did this on purpose.
Absolutely.
Right? He wanted to show the women first, and they were the first discoverers. If you're starting religion, that's not the way to do it. Mm-hmm. But the reason they did it is because they were telling the truth about what happened.
Absolutely.
Not trying to tell a fanciful story. And again, like we said, the Roman government, the Jewish authorities all agreed the tomb was empty. Actually, Satyricon, who is a writer from way back then, says this.
He was in terror of punishment and explained to the lady what had taken place. He would await no sentence of court-martial, but would punish his neglect of duty with his own sword.
Okay, so what this is saying is like a Roman soldier back then who let a prisoner escape killed himself.
Right. I would rather take my own life, take myself out, because I know that I can do it quicker and a lot less painful.
And without the shame of going through court-martialing.
Right, absolutely.
And so they would kill themselves. So there were multiple Roman soldiers guarding the tomb of Jesus, and yet that tomb was empty a couple days later. His body wasn't stolen. He didn't wake up and overpower the Roman soldiers.
Right.
Roman soldiers would not fall asleep. They would not neglect their duty.
Right.
The only thing that explains why the tomb was empty was that...
The truth?
The truth. Jesus really did rise from the dead.
Amen.
An angel really did roll the stone away. And historical records in the Bible actually explain how this happened. The angel rolled the stone away. The guards ran away. They told the Jewish people what happened. And the Jewish authorities said, hey, we'll pay you to say someone came and stole his body. And they took care of the Roman government for them. So that's what now to the A, to the appearances. What's this all about?
Well, after he was resurrected, I mean, he wouldn't just stay away from people, would he? That's not the kind of person Jesus was. He was trying to set things right with humanity, right?
That is right.
So he would actually have to go to people and show himself, look, I'm here. And the Bible says that he appeared to over 500 of the believers and that at the time of the writing, that they were still alive. Hey, go and ask them. They can tell you.
Yeah.
He appeared to all of the apostles, and the apostles, all of them, went from being scared for their own life because they were going
to
be...
Now you're getting to the next one. You're getting into transformation. Don't go there yet.
I'm going to slow down. Sorry.
All right. Jesus did appear.
Absolutely.
You read 1 Corinthians 15. He appeared to at least 500 people.
Right.
12 different occasions over a 40-day period of time. Why is this important? A lot of skeptics will say, well, sure, the apostles thought that Jesus appeared to them. They were smoking some good weed.
Right.
Right? They were sad and had a hallucination.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, maybe one or two of Jesus' closest followers were sad and had a hallucination. But what's not going to happen is that 500 different people on 12 different occasions,
right,
spread over 40 days, are going to have the same hallucination.
And that's crazy talk right there.
And so Jesus comes to them. He eats food with them. He has conversations with them. He shows them physical evidence that he really is who he says he
Thomas
was.
Thomas actually touched him.
That's right. Thomas touched the wounds that Jesus had to show, hey, this really is me. And so when you have 500 different people on 12 different occasions spread over 40 days, this isn't like groupthink. This isn't mass hysteria.
Right.
These are different people in different places at different times, all saying, yeah, Jesus really came. He really ate with us. We really conversed with him.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is a rather big deal. And these are people who knew Jesus, who, by the way, the reason we can trust that these appearances are real is because of this next part, transformations.
Yes.
All right. The very first, okay, so far we've got F for fatal torment.
Right.
E for empty tomb.
Mm-hmm.
A for appearances.
Right.
And T for transformation.
Right.
All right. Now think about this. The very first consensus after Jesus died was?
He's dead.
He is dead.
Right.
He's not worthy of being praised. The disciples locked themselves away in a room.
Yep. Our gravy train is over.
That's right. Mm-hmm. They were scared. Thomas, let's talk about Thomas for a minute.
Right.
Thomas was a strong follower of Jesus, but after Jesus' death, Thomas was a skeptic.
Absolutely.
Let's read John 20, 25 to 29.
All right, he said to them, unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it. A week later, his disciples were in the house again and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe.
Mm.
Thomas said to him, my Lord and my God. Then Jesus said to him, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not yet seen and yet have believed.
So Thomas starts out saying, I don't believe this.
Right.
You guys are crazy.
Right. As any normal person probably would.
Right. You know, I saw my friend die. I saw him buried.
Right. I'm very disappointed. I miss him right now.
But you're going to tell me he's alive?
Right. Yeah.
No, sorry.
Yeah, right.
And then Jesus shows up and Thomas is like, whoa, what actually happens according to church history, not the Bible, but according to history, Thomas went and he preached the gospel all over. He actually died a martyr's death.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is important. He previously was scared for his life.
Right.
He previously denied Jesus when he thought Jesus was dead. But after Jesus appeared to him, he was transformed.
Absolutely.
He became a different person, willing to give up his life to say, Jesus is alive.
Amen.
He died to say, Jesus is alive. Right. And you don't die for something that you know isn't the truth. You die for something that you believe in strongly.
Right. Absolutely.
Now, people die for lies all the time,
mm-hmm.
but they believe it's right. They Absolutely. Believe it's the truth. Okay. So a Muslim dies blowing himself up, let's say, as a terrorist, some of these terrorists do. They blow themselves up. Why did they die? Did they die for a lie? They did die for a lie,
right.
but they believed it was true.
Right. They died for their belief.
They died for what they believed mm-hmm. was true.
Absolutely.
Thomas died believing he had seen Jesus alive, and that's why he died.
Right. And he wasn't the only one.
He wasn't the only one. There's also Peter.
Right.
Let's read Mark chapter 14.
He began to call curses on himself, and he swore to them, I don't know this man you're talking about. Peter swore he didn't even know Jesus, calling curses on himself. Fear drove Peter to deny Jesus, and shortly after Jesus' death.
This is not the Bible now, right, you're reading.
He could be found hiding with the rest of the disciples.
Yeah. Basically, Peter said to these people, I don't blankety blank know who you're talking about.
Right.
God, curse me if that's not true. Like, he denied Jesus as Jesus was dying.
Right.
Peter was scared. He was scared before Jesus was even dead.
Right.
Yeah. And then later, Peter locks himself in a room, hides with everybody else, and then Jesus shows up again. And he changes into the boldest preacher for Christianity
Absolutely.
The world had ever seen. Get this. He transforms. And it's not just his life he gives up. I mean, he has to give up his culture.
Mm-hmm.
He gives up making sacrifices, which every Jew did. He gives up eating the Jewish diet. He changes everything about the way he lived because he saw Jesus alive. But he did die. Let's read what Tertullian, this is a historian. This is what historian right. Tertullian wrote.
But if you live near Italy, you have Rome, where authority is at hand for us too. What a happy church that is, on which the apostles poured out their whole doctrine with their blood, where Peter had a passion like that of the Lord, where Paul was crowned with the death of John, the Baptist being beheaded.
So here we read from Tertullian that Peter was crucified, just like mm-hmm. Jesus.
Right.
Church history and writings from the second century has Peter being crucified upside down because he felt unworthy to be crucified in the same manner as Jesus. Peter transformed from a scared denier into a bold preacher willing to die because he believed he had seen Jesus appear and risen from the dead.
Absolutely.
And then you get to my favorite.
Yeah, James?
James.
Mm-hmm.
James is my favorite. James was the brother of Jesus.
Right.
And now, let's be honest.
If your siblings said that they were God on earth, what are you going to think?
Whatever.
Cuckoo.
Yeah.
Right? This is crazy, right, dude. Peter thought the same thing. This is from the book of Mark.
Okay. Then Jesus entered a house, and again a crowd gathered, so that he and his disciples were not even able to eat. When his family heard about this, they went to take charge of him, for they said, he is out of his mind.
He is out of his mind. Mm-hmm. That's what James and the family of Jesus thought about Jesus, right, when he was alive. Josephus says this.
So he assembled the Sanhedrin of judges and brought before them the brother of Jesus, who was called Christ, whose name was James, and some others. And when he had formed an accusation against them as breakers of the law, he delivered them to be stoned.
Okay, this is Josephus, an ancient historian. He records the death of James. Why did James die? He was stoned until he was dead because he believed he had seen Jesus Christ risen from the dead.
Amen.
James followed Jesus, believed in Jesus, worshiped Jesus, his brother.
Right.
What would it take for you to believe your brother was God on earth?
A lot. Maybe, maybe,
maybe,
maybe if he was crucified
and then
resurrected.
Oh, that might do it.
Right. And him saying, well, I told you this was going to happen.
Yeah.
Right.
So James says, wow, you know what? I realize my brother's not crazy. I realize he really was the Son of God, the Messiah who fulfilled all these prophecies.
Right.
So he changes. That one's my favorite, because just to think of what it would take to convince me that my brother was the Lord. Like,
right.
Nah,
it's crazy, right?
Yeah, I'm not going to do it. And then if I even see my brother risen from the dead, my brother, there'd be a lot of explaining to do.
Right.
Especially if I'm going to die for this belief. Mm-hmm. Like you said, my brother would have had to say, look, I'm going to die. Here's how it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Make some prophecies before I believed all this.
Yeah. So, absolutely.
There was a guy named Paul, or he was also named Saul. Just right. That was just the Greek version of his name.
He gave that whole Saul thing up, though.
No.
All right. So in Acts 9, it says, meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way or followed Jesus, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem.
All right, so you have Saul, who was also Paul.
Mm.
He hated Christianity.
Absolutely.
He persecuted Christians. He arrested them. He helped them be put to death. And he changed into one of the most powerful missionaries for Christianity. He wrote more books in the New Testament than anyone else did.
Right.
He changed in massive ways. Eusebius of Caesarea, who was an early historian, wrote that Paul was beheaded during the reign of Roman Emperor Nero. He was beheaded because he would not recant his belief in Jesus Christ.
Hmm. So you go from destroying everything that had anything to do with Jesus.
Yes.
To actually going to your death because you won't recant that Jesus is who he said he was.
That's right. He saw Jesus risen from the dead.
Nah.
Jesus appeared to him. Paul writes this down. Jesus appears to him, and because Jesus appeared to Paul, he changes his life. He gives up his traditions. He gives up his culture. He even gives up his life saying, I saw Jesus alive.
Right.
So this doesn't just happen under mere rumor. Yeah, there's people who believe they've seen Elvis. They're crazy.
Right.
But you put a gun to those people's head, and most of them are not going to say, yeah, I saw Elvis.
Right.
You know, no one knows, or no one dies for what they know to be a lie.
Right.
Have people died for something that wasn't true? Yes, of course, but they believed it was true. You know, it's kind of interesting that these guys didn't just die. We mentioned they had to give up their culture. Well, every single Jew sacrificed animals. But when Jesus died, those who believed stopped sacrificing animals because right. they believed Jesus' death covered their sins. They give up their culture. The Sabbath was a holy day for Jews, but early Christians decided to celebrate Sunday instead of the Sabbath because they believed that's when Jesus rose from the dead.
Right.
They change it. I mean, this is phenomenal. It's crazy. All right, we're going to answer Bible contradiction.
Bible contradiction.
All right, this one's brought to you by 1001BibleContradictions.com. Is God or is Jesus the gateway to heaven? Oh, man, we're just scandalous right now. John 6:65 says, and Jesus said that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. However, John 14:6 says that Jesus said, no man come to the Father but by me.
Okay, so
what's up with that?
In this is from the same book, John.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus, in one of them, is basically saying, you can't come to me unless the Father enables you.
Right.
And the other one, he says, you can't come to the Father unless you come to me.
Right. What is it?
Infinite circle of destruction.
Hey, Dad, can I have a cookie? Go ask your mom. Hey, Mom, can I have a cookie? Go ask your dad. Wow.
Now, I would like to point out that this isn't actually a contradiction.
Right.
This just forms an infinite loop. You have to come to Jesus to get the Father. You have to have the Father to come to Jesus. Mm-hmm. That's not a contradiction. That could just be an infinite loop that nobody gets into, so right. We're all doomed. It's not a contradiction.
Right.
But I don't think it is an infinite loop that means we're all doomed either. Just listen to what they say. Okay, let's go with the second C, credibility. Mm-hmm. Is there any way to, in our cracked acronym, sorry. Is there any way to hear this and know what they mean other than them contradicting themselves? Let's imagine you open a bank account.
Okay.
All right. To open a bank account at the first bank, you need approval from the bank president.
Okay.
But nobody gets meetings with the bank president unless you have a bank account.
What?
Contradiction. Well, no, it's just expressing how things work, right? You just call the bank up and go, hey, I'd like to have a meeting with the bank president. They're like, do you have an account here? No. Okay, well, you got to have an account if you want to meet the president. You know, but, well, I want to open an account. Oh, okay, well, the president will have to approve that.
Right.
Right, that's not an infinite circle of destruction. That's not right. A contradiction. That's just how life works. What Jesus is saying is you can't go to the Father unless you come through faith in Jesus.
Amen.
But you can't have faith in Jesus unless God opens your eyes.
Right.
Right? This isn't a contradiction. This is explaining to you how faith works. God's got to open your eyes up. And we here, as Arminians, would say that God has given everybody enough light to hear the truth.
Amen.
That you have heard it and you are able to respond to that. And so you're able to, God has woken you up enough to respond to that. God hasn't forced you to have faith, but God has given you the option. And so God, the Father has said to you, hey, wake up. Do you want to be saved? And you have the option of going to Jesus, being saved or not. This isn't a contradiction at all.
Bible contradiction.
Good analogy, by the way, with the bank and the president.
Thank you. I worked on that for like 7 hours.
I bet.
And by 7 hours, I mean 30 seconds. All right. You know what we're going to do, Dave?
Mm.
We're going to answer a listener question.
I got a question.
What?
We haven't done this for a while.
All right. Listener question says, do Jewish people go to heaven? They are God's chosen people, if I am not mistaken. So how does this work?
Okay. Great question. Do Jewish people automatically go to heaven, right. Is I think what they're trying to get at.
Do I got my ticket punched if I'm a Jewish?
The short answer is this. Only those who accept Jesus Christ as the Messiah can be saved. So just because a person has been born a Jew does not mean they will be saved.
Right.
All right, here's a longer answer. In Matthew 23, Jesus says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you build the tombs of the prophets, you decorate the monuments of the righteous, saying, if we had lived in the days of our fathers, we would not have taken part with them in the shedding of the blood of the prophets. Thus you witness against yourselves that you are the sons of those who murdered the prophets. Fill up then the measure of your fathers, you serpents, you brood of vipers. How dare you? How are you to escape being sentenced to hell? All right, that's what Jesus said to these Jewish teachers.
Yikes.
Obviously, Jesus did not believe or teach that all biological Jews are going to heaven.
Right.
And the Apostle Paul, who was a Jew, said in Romans 9, I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart, for I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers, my kinsmen according to the flesh. All right, so here it is again. It's repeated that not every Jew will be saved.
Right.
Paul's grieving over it. But there is good news. Paul says that Gentiles were grafted in, using a tree agriculture analogy. He's talking about how Gentiles were saved. And then he says the Jews were cut off. But Paul says, quote, if the Jewish people do not continue in their unbelief, they will be grafted in.
Amen.
Right? So they can be saved. But he talks about a partial hardening having come on Israel until all Israel can be saved. So a lot of theologians believe this means there'll be some point a big revival among the Jewish people and that they will come to Jesus en masse. But until they come to Jesus, at least individually, they are not saved. So that's it.
There you go.
Thanks for listening to Truth Revolution. And please remember to have a happy Easter coming out to Revolution Church.
You know you wanna.
And by the way, you're not gonna hear another Truth Revolution for a month.
How are they gonna exist?
Well, they can go to truthevolution.tv and listen to past shows.
Well, there that is.
Dave, we've got like 300 or 500 shows.
Ish. We've been doing this for 7 years.
So we have tons of past shows. You can listen to hundreds of past shows and learn more than you'll ever need to know.
Absolutely. Really, honestly.
So truthevolution.tv is the website. Make sure you got us checked in on your podcast app. You can type in Truth Revolution, Revolution Church, or my name, P-I-E-P-H-O, Jeff Pepo.
See you next month.